other best devotees because they always serve in separation. He was explaining more and more, and he was and I think that it was either Rukmini or Satyabhama. He was talking. Or maybe it was Rohini. When he was talking, they saw that he was potentially at the point of losing his consciousness again, thinking about the people of Vrindavan or the girls of Vrindavan. And so at that point, Rohini came in. She said, "Why don't we take delicious prasadam?" And because she knew that if she offered, started speaking about offering prasadam, and that would, distract his mind from those topics and change his mood.
Yeah, that's right. And when he was explaining, I can't remember. Need to have help me, Maharaj.
At one point, the queens. It was either before or after Krishna told them why he married them, was because he was feeling lonesome for the gopis, and they reminded him of them, and that was why. Something like that.
Yeah, he told them.
He said, "The only reason I married you is because you're very beautiful, and your beauty, reminds me of the beauty of the girls of Braja. That's the only reason I married you."
Was it before or after that? That I think it might have been before.
I think that was when all of the queens had come together, right, except one queen,
Satyabhama.
And then when Krishna realized that she wasn't there, then he said, "Call the proud daughter of the foolish king Satyajit."
Yeah.
And then they went to her quarters and informed her that Krishna had called, and so she quickly had baths and she arranged herself, and then she went there and
hid behind a pillar.
And then that's when Krishna, he started with some mild rebuking, but then he started an outpouring of his heart for the gopis of Vrindavan. And he said, "I can't go there." He said, "Even though I love them so much, they love me so much." He said, "I can't go back." He said, "Even now, they don't sleep. And even now, they constantly cry. And even now, they don't eat. And if I were to go back, and they were to experience my presence, it would be devastating. They would all die."
It would make it worse. But my question is,
it was either before or after that, that the queens started talking about the gopis and glorifying them rather than taking it, rather than being envious and taking it in the wrong way. They began to glorify them. They said, "We have our, household duties. We have our children to take care of. Somebody's social duty. But the gopis, they have no other duty, just to love Krishna. Therefore, yes, they are the best devotees."
I think that was somewhere near.
Before,
it was like near the end of the Nava Vrindavan pastime.
I'm pretty sure it was after they came to the palace and Krishna started to speak to them.
Because I remember different people giving their expressions of how Krishna actually loved them more because they were more qualified. And is it in that part? I think it was Devaki. She was there, wasn't she? Devaki was in Dwarka. And Devaki, she said, she said even the love of, she said the love of Nanda and Jasoda are millions of times more superior to the love that Vasudeva and I had. Because Vasudeva and I, we performed tapasya and austerities to have God as our son. But Nanda and Jasoda, they performed tapasya that the Lord would just appear in the world and perform his lila, because they knew that if he performed his lila, then people throughout the ages would narrate his lila and people would be saved. And so they said, for that reason, they are much greater devotees than ourselves. And it's for that reason that even though he's my son and he took birth in my family, I could never see any of his childhood pastimes. But he drank the milk from Jasoda's breast.
That's the Bhagavatam verse, that they performed austerities so that those who hear about them, particularly it mentions his childhood pastimes, that they would then attain liberation and go back to Godhead.
So do you think that the section where the queens were glorifying the gopis is in that section?
I can't put that part together so clearly. I just know that when they it was around the point that they saw Krishna was starting to sort of go into just his into his internal consciousness, that they announced, "Oh, we have prepared, you know, prasadam. Rohini has prepared nice prasadam. Let us take prasadam." And then Krishna turned to go take prasadam, and that's when he looked and he saw Narada standing inside the door. He was standing at the door.
Oh.
And Narada was like dumbstruck with ecstasy and he couldn't move. And Krishna looked up and he said, "Narada, why are you standing there? Why don't you come within my room?" And Uddhava said, "Lord, he feels that he's made an offense to you because of this entire situation that's taking place here in Dwarka."
Krishna asked, "Where is Narada?"
And then the Lord told Narada, he said, "You didn't make any offense to me." He said, "Rather, you're my best friend." He said, "And the reason that you're my best friend is because when you love a person, you always think of a person. But when a person comes and reminds you of the person that you love that person even more."
Yeah.
So therefore, you've done the greatest service. And I think that's when he said, "Narada, take a benediction."
Yeah, that's right.
He asked the three benedictions, basically, for everybody else.
Maharaj, Shakti Baba, do you remember where that section is? Where it fits? Where the queens were glorifying the gopis?
Oh, you're the...
It fits right in there somewhere.
You got Bhagavatam.
I'm almost positive it was when, it was in that section where the queens, when Krishna went back to the palace after the Nava Vrindavan passed away, and he was explaining to them what happened. And in the process of doing that explanation, the queens started to glorify the gopis. And it may have been close to that time where you're talking about, Maharaj. That may have come just before where Rohini asked everybody to come and take the shot. Because I think the queens were trying to also keep Krishna from going into trance. It's very important.
I remember at the end of the Nava Vrindavan Lila, when Krishna came to consciousness.
Yeah.
He he started coming to his consciousness,
and he said, where am I?
And who
then,
am I?
And then the next thing he said, who am
who
I?
Am I?
This God said, who am I? And then I think it was, I'm not sure who it was, but started, you know, very loudly, you know, shouting, Yada Yada Hi Dharma Shaglanir Bhavati Bhadartha. That was Balaram. He started, yeah. He started chanting, Yada Yada Hi Dharma Shaglanir. This is your duty. You've come to the world to...
And he started to call him by Kuntanath or Dwarkanath. He started calling him Dwarkanath in order to bring him out of his trance.
And then when Krishna, he started seeing himself dressed in cowherd boy clothes.
Yeah.
And he realized he had to get back to the palace, that he was... He didn't want to show himself in front of the people of Dwarka dressed in that way because he was feeling embarrassed.
Yeah.
And so then Garuda just sort of automatically appeared. And Garuda flew him back through all the back alleys so that no one would see Krishna in his Vrindavan dress. Because Krishna was like shy to be in those clothes because he was...
Huh. Remember when Maharaj, remember in Krishna Sangati when Krishna decides after he kills Chandravaksha, and then he's right there.
When Krishna kills Dandavakra, and remember Dandavakra sent the message after Krishna killed Shalva,
then
Dandavakra sent a message to Krishna challenging him. And he was in Mathura. So then Krishna, he said, oh yeah, running to Mathura to kill Dantavakra. And then...
And there he went to...
And then he thought, well, this is a good idea. This is good. And then he asked some of the Brahmins that were there in Vishwamgad. After he killed Dantavakra, he went to take rest in Vishwamgad. And he asked the Brahmins, where... Nanda Maharaj was. And he said, oh. He said he couldn't go back to Nandagaon after Kurukshetra because he couldn't bear the thought of going back to the Brajavasis without Krishna again a second time. So he just camped out. There's this one king friend of his who, you know, allows him to stay in his kingdom. And it's just across the Jamuna. I don't remember his name. He's a king.
And
it's called Gokulapati.
Gokulapati. And so then Krishna says, great. So Uddhava goes with him, and he's still dressed in his kingly robes. And Uddhava was so intelligent, he brought a box with him that had all of Krishna's, you know, cowherd paraphernalia, his dress and his flute and his buffalo horn and everything, peacock feather. And while they were in the middle of the Yamuna going over, Krishna opened the box, and then Krishna changed into his cloth. And then I think he blew his conch shell.
He blew his conch shell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he got to the other side and he changed.
I think in your book, I think it said he changed while he was in chariot, because when he got back to the other side, when the Brajavasis heard the conch shell, they knew that Krishna was coming, and they all went running to the bank of the Yamuna, where he was going to come. So he must have changed before. And then Yashoda came there, and you remember? Yashoda's love was so powerful that she just got right up in the chariot, put Krishna on his lap, and everybody, all the Vrindavasis, just watched as Yashoda just poured her love out to Krishna. And it was so powerful that they were just stunned. And they watched.
Where is that described?
Gopalchup.
Yeah, Gopalchup.
That's
one of my favorite parts of your books. That's that scene when Mother Yashoda is loving Krishna, nursing Krishna, right there in front of everybody. Nobody could just, you know, all he could do is just be stunned and watch Mother Yashoda love Krishna.
Fine Food India Expo.
And back to where Keshavardhan Maharaj first started about Narada and Krishna and Balaram. I can't remember Balaram being there, maybe he was. They said to take prasadam, and they were served by the queens. And Narada was so distracted in ecstasy that he couldn't concentrate on his meal that he was given, because he just received the benedictions.
Yeah.
He was so much in ecstasy, and they kept telling him, Narada, eat this kheer. Yeah. It's very good. Narada, yeah, you know, this is the vegetable that you like so much. Yeah. Please eat this. Narada.
Right.
You know, so he was like just eating on instruction. And then finally he jumped up and he said, I gotta go. And Krishna said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to go throughout the universe and I'm going to proclaim who are the greatest devotees of the Lord.
He went back to the first Brahman he talked to.
Oh.
That's where he went. He went to distribute this love. Krishna had given it.
What were the three benedictions?
One was that anyone who hears the pastimes of Krishna would never feel satiated.
Yeah.
And then Krishna said,
what kind of benediction is that? That's the natural state of affairs when people hear about me. Yeah, sort of chuckling. Ask for another benediction. And then Narada asked for the benediction that he can travel everywhere constantly and chant the glories of Krishna and his pastimes. And then the last one,
and the way that it's written there, he said I've thought about this for a long time, and it's like this is something that I've really cultivated for a long time, or I've really wanted for a long time.
I've
desired this for a long time, and then he just asked to be able to travel and spread the glories of the Lord so that people will be benefited. And then the third blessing?
The third blessing, he mentioned specifically the gopis. And I don't remember, I can't remember the actual.
He said, I would like the benediction. But if anyone hears this pastime, and if they have faith in this pastime, then their heads will, I think he says, that their heads will become decorated with the reddish dust particles from your lotus feet, which have come from the breasts of your greatest devotees, the young damsels of Vrindavan.
Something like that.
And Krishna said, supposedly.
So be it. He said, so be it.
That's the
that was the old one.